detection technique should be provided for men as well. In 1995, an estimated 40,400 prostate cancer deaths are expected. That's why I've introduced bills to provide for Medicaid coverage and Medicare coverage, respectively, for prostate cancer screening tests. 1995 is neither the year of the woman nor the year of the man. It's the year when our citizens get what they've asked for. That is, peace of mind and good health. I urge all of my colleagues to co-sponsor these life-saving bills.
Without objections, ordered.
Mr. Speaker, today the Federal Reserve Board is meeting, and the speculation is that they're going to raise interest rates to tighten monetary policy by raising the discount rate. Again, they've raised the discount rate six times in the last year. This will be the seventh increase, which has resulted already in over a 2.5%, 250 basis point increase in the spread in terms of interest rate paid for by American consumers. And, of course, the fact is that the record indicates that this is simply not justified or necessary. Workers today are receiving a very little increase in terms of compensation. And the fact is, by not taking a raise, they now are going to, in essence, be faced with increased costs because of interest rates. Car sales are down. Home sales are down. Many of the indices in the economy indicate that inflation is under control and the economy is not overheating. But the Fed is losing the capacity to deal with the responsibility of monetary policy by raising rates, by tightening monetary policy when it isn't necessary. Mr. Speaker, I hope the Federal Reserve Board today is listening behind their closed doors as they make this decision. We need them to play an independent and an objective role, not to over-manipulate and steal defeat from the jaws of victory when we have an economy that's working.
For what purpose does the gentleman from the great state of Michigan rise?
Request unanimous consent to address the House for 1 minute.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. This morning we expect to pass a bill dealing with unfunded mandates, and I will be voting for that bill. I do want to make it clear I do have some reservations in environmental areas, but those can be addressed as we go along. The main purpose of my comments today is to point out that we are only part of the problem, and I challenge the states of these great United States to follow our example and pass unfunded mandates bills within their own legislative bodies. In the state of Michigan, we required a constitutional amendment initiated by the citizens of the state to address this problem. And since I've worked at the county commission level, state legislative level, the federal level, I can assure you that everyone tries to pass mandates down to the body below them and require them to pay the cost. My challenge to the states is to follow Michigan's example, adopt a constitutional amendment as we did in Michigan, and prohibit passing unfunded mandates down to cities, counties, townships, and other forms of government. I urge all the states to join us in this effort as we pass our unfunded mandates bill today. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentlelady from Connecticut rise? Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, today the Federal Reserve Board is meeting to consider yet another hike in interest rates. Democrats are united in opposing this increase because we believe it will have a detrimental impact on working middle-class families across this nation. In 1994, the Fed raised interest rates six times. Those rate hikes were designed to slow economic growth and head off inflation. But another increase now could slow the economy right into a recession, just as the economic recovery is reaching working families. In my home state of Connecticut, where job growth continues to lag behind the rest of the country, another rise in interest rates could kill jobs and keep the economic recovery from ever reaching hard-working families. It's true that our economy is not at full health, but prescribing another interest rate hike as a cure is like prescribing brain surgery for a headache. It's unnecessary, and it could kill the patient. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from North Carolina rise?
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent to address the House for 1 minute.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, today we will finish our debate on unfunded mandates. We are going to give our state and local governments what they have asked for. Congress will stop mandating federal programs it cannot pay for. And now it is time to move on. Next on our agenda is the line item veto. This will provide another tool to cut spending and reduce the size of the federal government. Who knows, the power of the line item veto might even stop a practice that's been around many years in the Congress, pork barrel projects. Mr. Speaker, Republicans are committed to moving our contract with America forward until it is completed. We have heard the people's mandate, and we will keep our promises to bring to the floor issues that produce real change. We are moving on to a future of a smaller, less costly, and more efficient government. I urge my Democratic colleagues to join with us to move forward with the people's demand for a change. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, the Los Angeles Times succeeded in doing something this week that Speaker Gingrich has refused to do for years, release the names of contributors to his political machine, GOPAC. The partial listing published by the Times shows that one couple gave GOPAC more than $715,000, while other contributors made more than $300,000 available apiece. But who and how many more contributors are there? There are many questions that remain unanswered. That's why the chorus of respected voices calling for an outside counsel is getting louder and louder. The New York Times roll call, the respected public advocacy group, Public Citizen, former special counsel Richard Phelan, and Al Hunt of the conservative Wall Street Journal all agree only an outside counsel can put this matter to rest. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Washington rise?
Request unanimous consent to address the House for 1 minute.
Without objection, so ordered.
Mr. Speaker, to my Democrats across the aisle, methinks thou dost protest too much. I have heard for weeks personal attacks on our Republican leaders and delay tactics. Is it because you have nothing else to say? I know losing power must be difficult to deal with. But the message last November wasn't more fighting, more finger-pointing, and more personal attacks. It was less government, less taxes, and less regulations. We have defied the odds by passing a balanced budget amendment, and we will pass an unfunded mandates bill. The American people have said they wanted change. The Democrats have tried their patience long enough. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Connecticut rise?
Address the House for 1 minute.
Without objection, so ordered.
The Fed chairman tells us that senior citizens are benefiting by an overstatement of inflation in this country. The Fed chairman tells us there's a crisis in Mexico. Well, it seems to me the Fed chairman and his policy helped create the crisis in Mexico, and if he's correct about the fact that inflation is overstated in the indicators, then he ought not raise taxes, and he ought not raise interest rates. In my state, in my district in Connecticut, many people still want jobs that don't have them. A Fed policy that is based on creating more unemployed is an outrage in a country that is talking about putting people to work. You can't sit there and tell us that you want welfare people to go to work and then raise interest rates so working people lose their jobs. If there ought to be jobs that are lost, they ought to be at the Fed. We ought to keep interest rates not higher but lower so more Americans can go to work, so we can have a stronger economy and continue to reduce this deficit. The Fed policy goes against everything we've done to increase employment and cut the deficit. Don't raise interest rates anymore, Mr. Chairman.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Georgia rise?
Request unanimous consent.
Without objection, so ordered.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This morning, Speaker Gingrich invited Vice President Gore to meet with the Republican conference on the subject of reinventing the government. He stood right here at this lectern on the Republican side and talked for nearly an hour about making government customer-friendly and constituent-responsive. He talked about the old order and the new order. He talked about listening to employees and bringing them in on the decision-making. He talked about cutting red tapes, reducing the bureaucracy, and changing the procurement process. And we on the Republican side found that we have much in common with the Vice President, and we share much of his goal and his vision. I congratulate Speaker Gingrich in inviting the Vice President to engage in a bipartisan dialogue. I hope that members of both sides of the aisle can follow this example set by Speaker Gingrich and the Vice President. I hope that the sniping ends. You know, it's always easy to build yourself up at the expense.